I'd just like you to please recognize Melinda Zeman, chairperson of the VIP support group. And Gabino Lars, representing the VA. Both the VIP support group and the VA VIST will have information tables in the exhibit hall. And if you would like more information about the VIP support group here in the villages, please check out their website at www.villagesvip.org. Also, at this time, please recognize Donna Evans, the event director. And Donna asked me on her behalf to thank all of her volunteers who helped bring this event together. Now, to open this expo, we have two wonderful doctors here to speak and answer questions. And after their presentation, the exhibit hall in the next room will open. And this would be the time to turn off anything that might make noise, such as cell phones.
Yay!
Yeah. As I see people reaching for their pockets and phones, and you don't want to be that one embarrassed person whose phone goes off in the middle of a presentation. Our speakers today are Dr. Tooley, the head of the ophthalmology department at the University of Florida in Gainesville, and Dr. Chen, also from the University of Florida Ophthalmology. So, with no further ado, please welcome Dr. Tooley.
Thank you so much for this invitation. Donna and Ed are two of my favorite people, so when Donna says jump, I say how high. So she is wonderful. As you all know, I'm preaching to the choir. So my name is Sonal Tooley, as Ed told you, and I'm one of the ophthalmologists at the University of Florida. I have two colleagues with me here today, Dr. Jingwa Chen, who is a retina specialist, and Dr. Sean Sussman, who is one of our optometrists, and helps people that I do surgery on see by giving them the right corrections and helping them. So I'm going to, you know, this is a very informal, I'm a little intimidated by how many people there are, which is great. You guys are awesome to show up early today. But this is a very informal conversation. I'm going to talk about some of the things, and I can structure it however the interest goes. But feel free to ask questions whenever you like, and we'll be happy to answer those or change the direction and you know, talk about other things. I'm going to hold on to this because it's falling down. So I'm actually a cornea specialist, so I work on the front of the eye. I know a lot of you have problems with the back of the eye, the retina, the glaucomas, and so Dr. Chen will talk about some of the treatments for retina diseases specifically, so I won't specifically go into those because she will take care of those, but I was going to give a sort of a broad overview of the eyes and, you know, what could go wrong with different parts of it and what might be coming down the pike for each of those. A little bit of an, you know, broad overview. I'm not going to go into a lot of individual details, but just to give you an idea about what's heading down the pike, what you might be looking forward to, what are some of the things that we don't think of when we think of visual impairment and what could cause it, and what might, you know, help you guys on a day-to-day basis. So like I said, I work on the front of the eye, and I work, though, very closely with people that have problems with the back of the eye. So for example, people that have retinal problems or glaucoma are often on treatments that can cause problems to the front of the eye. So some of you have had tube shunts or are on glaucoma medications. Both of those can cause a lot of problems with the surface of the cornea. And the reason that is important is that people think sometimes that they've lost vision because of glaucoma or because of a retina issue, because they're getting injections in their eye, and that's often definitely true. But because these medications are toxic, the injections or the tube shunts that you get can change the shape of your eye, oftentimes there are other reasons why you might have blurry vision after that. So I see a lot of patients that we co-manage, and sometimes the corneas get swollen because surgeries on your eye can cause the cornea to get damaged. The cornea is the clear front part of the eye. It's crystal clear like the watch glass on your watch. You guys, I know what a watch glass is. When I teach the students, they sometimes have no idea what a watch glass is because they're used to their Apple phones and things like that. But you know what a watch glass is, and it's a clear watch glass, and it's curved like a baseball. It should be nice and round. And in some cases, because you have had surgery, or you're getting injections, or you've had retina detachment surgery, that cornea can get misshapen or can get dry. The reason that's important is because that cornea needs to be nice and smooth to let the light go through and make a nice image on your retina. If that cornea is irregular or dry, that can cause the light to deteriorate as it enters your eye. And so oftentimes, you might have good vision in the back of the eye, but that cornea being cloudy or hazy acts like frosted glass, and you can't see. And so what I do sometimes is, so we treat a lot of dry eyes, and you guys are probably, a lot of you are on dry eye treatment because that happens, but there are some newer medications coming down the pipe. There are lots of prescription eye drops that you can get, but there are some newer ones that can be an injection in the, it's an inhaler that you put into your nose and can cause you to make more tears of your own. There are certain drops that are made from an oil that we use in retina surgery that can coat the surface of your eye and smooth it so that you can see much better. So those are good, and then I do corneal transplants. But sometimes people have had corneal transplants and those corneal transplants fail because your body rejects them. And so we have several different kinds now of artificial corneas that we can put on the eye that help the eye see, even if the body does not reject or does not accept normal corneas. And so there are people here that have had those surgeries, and it puts a plastic cornea on the front of the eye. The nice thing is that it gives you crystal clear vision. So whatever vision you have left is completely usable because the light enters that cornea completely clearly. Some of you might be wearing telescopes and bioptics and to magnify the images around you. And there are now cataract surgeries that we can do where we implant what's called an IMT. It's an intraocular miniature telescope. So it works very similarly to the telescope that you put over your glasses, but we implant it into your eye. And what people then do is use that eye for magnification, for the reading, and for seeing distant objects, and then use the other eye to navigate, just like you would if you had a telescope on your eye. So those are very exciting. But then there are, you know, treatments for the back of the eye and for glaucoma and a lot of research that's going on. Some of you have heard of Usher syndrome, people who have lost vision from a condition that's similar to retinitis pigmentosa and hearing loss. One of the researchers in my department is working on a gene therapy for that. That gene goes into the retina and it replaces the cells that have gotten damaged by the Usher syndrome. And so that, and Dr. Chen will talk a little bit more about that. But even more exciting, there are other treatments that people are working on. So there are proteins that our retina uses in order to see. And I don't know if you remember back to your biology, but there's mitochondria. These are the powerhouses, right? They're the generators that produce the electrical energy that our retina uses to see. The problem with retinal degeneration and glaucoma is that it kills those cells. They cannot produce the energy to see because they need that energy to create an electrical signal that goes to the back of your brain. There are now gene therapies and things that people can do called optogenetics. So even though retinal cells are dead in patients, for example, with retinitis pigmentosa, because of the gene, the retinal cells die and there's no way to recover them. There are other cells in the eye that help support the retina, that don't see vision, that don't have light ability. And what these therapies do is they make cells that don't see light start seeing light. And that is very, very cool, right? Because even if the cells that are not functioning are dead, these new cells can then start seeing light and transmitting the light to the brain where your brain sees vision. So that's one type of therapy. The other type of therapy is to try and rescue cells that are dead or dying or not functioning. So some of the cells that we have, so for example, in glaucoma, eventually the cells completely die, but initially because they don't have enough energy to function, they cannot transmit the light. And so there are therapies, there are proteins called arrestin in the back of the eye that help with this light production or energy production. And if you modify these proteins, what it allows your mitochondria to do is it allows them to use energy much more efficiently. Sort of like if you were driving a gas car and then you added some electrical, you know, a hybrid to it, and you started now using some extra energy to support the gas would go a lot further. And that's what these treatments do, is they allow the cells in your body to use that energy that the mitochondria produce that's not very good to make it a lot more efficient. And that not only allows cells to prevent them from dying, but cells that may be not dead and not letting you see because the energy doesn't go to the back of the eye can now start seeing light because they're using the energy more efficiently. And that would be working for any disease, right? So fortunately, that's one of the ways to treat eye diseases that's not restricted to the type of disease that you have in your eye. And so it can be used for a variety of things. The other things we talk about are things like bionic eye. And people misunderstand that sometimes because they think a bionic eye means you get one of those cyborg things, right, that you see on TV. And so you have this little mechanical eye that you pop into the eye. And it's not quite that. So currently when we talk about bionic eyes, what we're talking about is using bionic sort of mechanisms to help the existing eye see. So the previous bionic eye that we had was a little chip. And what they did was implant, so for patients who had, say, retinitis pigmentosa, where their retinal cells were not functioning, but their nerve that took vision from the brain, eye to the brain, was still functioning, what they would do is implant a chip over the optic nerve and then connect that chip to a camera that you wore in your glasses. The camera would see what was happening in the world, transmit that to the chip, and the chip would send it to the brain. So, great idea, right? And so it worked well. The problem was that our eyes are made amazingly well. So nature makes our eyes with a million ganglion cells, a million cells that go to the brain, which means you can see fine details, a distinct difference between a hair and another hair or a leaf on a tree. The problem with these chips is even with the best technology we have currently, they can only have 20 to 40, maybe 40,000 little chips on them. Compare 40,000 to a million that our eye naturally has. The vision was not great. So people could see movement, they could see shadows, and that helped, right? So these people could not see light from dark. And now suddenly they can actually see that something is coming at them and then walk around and maybe see people's, that says somebody in front of them. And so that helped a lot. Unfortunately, the company stopped making that chip. So we were very disappointed, but there's a new version of that chip coming. And the problem with the old chip was you had to have a healthy eye otherwise. Other than the retina being blind, you had to have a normal appearing eye to let that light get into that chip. Now the chip that they have come up with is going to be implanted in your brain directly over the part of the brain that sees vision. Works the same way. You have the chip implanted. Glasses have the camera. The camera transmits that information directly to your brain. So those are going to be in clinical trials pretty soon, and hopefully that'll come out. There's also a different version in a company called Neuralink. You guys might have heard of it. I'm sorry?
Elon Musk?
Yeah, that is Elon Musk's company, and it's right now what it's working on is a motor version, which means people who cannot move, what this does is it implants little electrodes into the spinal cord or the brain, and those electrodes use your brain power to make things move. But that's not what we need for the eyes. We don't need eyes to move. We want light to go backwards into the brain, and so this version is working on the opposite. Can we, again, do something where there's something that detects the vision or the environment and then transmits that to these electrodes in the brain, and they stimulate specific parts of the brain to make that sort of work, right? So your brain will not actually see the image, but it will get stimulated, and it'll think that it's seeing the image, which actually it is, because my camera is actually looking at that image. So that is very exciting because that can then target different parts of the brain that can give you maybe better vision than just a chip that stimulates everything about the same time. So that's some of the things that are available. We've talked about stem cells, And stem cells are definitely something that a lot of people are working on, both for the front of the eye, where we can maybe, instead of doing corneal transplants, grow people's cells to take cells from their from the fat in their abdomen, for example. Okay. Convert that. Yeah, isn't that cool? Yes, I would love to get that. So take some of my fat and then convert it into different cells that make a retina. And then you put that into my eye or make it into a cornea and put that into the eye. So those things are coming. We've figured out how to convert one type of cell in your body to a different type of cell. The problem is connecting it to your brain, and that's been the sort of the hard part. But there are certainly artificial corneas coming now that can be grown, in the sense they take cells and they grow it in a petri dish and then use a 3D printing mechanism. You know, you've heard of 3D printers. And you can print a new cornea that is made by your own tissue and can go into your eye. So this is all things that, you know, when I was growing up was science fiction. And now a lot of it is reality. So I will stop talking and we'll answer questions and I'll hand this over to Dr. Chen so she can tell you more about more of the retina things. And feel free to ask questions after that.
Thank you, Dr. Tuli. Dr. Tuli covered all the very exciting part. So my part will probably come back a little normal, traditional, and not very exciting. So I feel the today the topic is visual awareness, vision awareness, and thinking about this topic, actually, do you know that in United States the number one eye problem is what?
Ocular.
So partially, that's right. So for example, if people over 40 years old, the number one is macular degeneration. How about the young people? We include everyone, even babies. What is the number one problem?
Color blindness is
one of the problems.
Wet mat.
Think about Dr. Sisman's job. So the number one problem is refractive problem. Most of eye problems, you think I cannot see. People said, come to my clinic, Dr. Chen, I cannot see. Like, I only see the biggest number. But if you give them glasses, they can see the smallest number. Without glasses, I cannot see. I'm blind. So number one problem is a refractive problem. And yes, when people older than 40 years old, number one problem is macular degeneration to cause visual impairments. And for young kids, babies, the number one problem is amblyopia. So the developmental problems. And to cause the vision problems, cause the blindness, yes, number one is macular degeneration in our country, and followed by cataract, by glaucoma, by diabetes. But the cataract can be treated, and some infection can be treated because of cornea cloudiness. But macular degeneration, not really, because when the cell die, they remain inactive. Who in the hall receive injection? Many people receive injection. Yes. So when, let's say, when you're older than 65 years old, then 15% of the population have macular degeneration. When people older than 75 years old, 25% have macular degeneration.
Excuse me, Dr. Chen, put it closer to you. Can't hear in the back.
Just put it closer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's an age-related disease. And we all know the macular degeneration has two types, dry macular degeneration and wet type degeneration. And most people receive the injection because they have fluid or they have a blood in their eye. It's called the wet macular degeneration. And for dry macular degeneration, recently, in the recent years, has a lot of hot topic, a lot of research, a lot of money put, a lot of efforts put into this field, because previously for dry macular degeneration, there's no treatment. People only watch, okay, we'll say, put the amsler grade on your refrigerator, use that once per week, or take your vitamins. How many people take ARAS vitamins? Yes, that's very important, very important. How many people use amsler grade, the grade chart on the refrigerator? Only a few people. Not many, but all the macular degeneration people, please use the amsler grade routinely. Like once per week, you cover one eye, use this eye to see if you still can see the chart clearly. If you see any distortion, and cover this eye, do the same thing. Because some of my patients, we say, okay, 3 months come back, we'll recheck. But during this month, they already developed fluid. They already had a hemorrhage underneath the retina. When you do not cover one eye, then very hard for you to notice that there's change, vision change in the other eye. Then when you come back to clinic, it's too late because the blood underneath the retina is toxic. It can kill the cells which receive the light and the images. So you need to quite often check your eye at least once per week so that you can notice a minor change. And we come back to the dry macular degeneration. If there's no fluid, if there's no blood, why do we treat the dry type macular degeneration? And we treat it even with injection. Why is that?
To prevent?
Probably because you have GA.
Because geographic atrophy, that's right. So geographic atrophy is like a thinning of the retina, and a lot of time. So far, it's not reversible. One, it's thin, the cell die, and you cannot do anything to make it alive again. So last year, 2023, FDA approved two medications to treat geographic atrophy. One is Azervay, another one is Syfovre. So both medication, they treating actually inflammation rot inside the eye. Partially, they think the cause of the dry macular degeneration, sometimes white macular degeneration, is because of the inflammation process. So you do we call it an anti-complement factor. So you do inject that factor into the eye every 2 to 3 months. That can slow down the geographic atrophy. So the atrophy from macular degeneration, it progress. It's not like a stay. So this year I see you probably this big, and next year when I see you again, probably this big. So every year, average, it progress like 1.7 to 2 square millimeter. So the area. You see how large the eye is. So that's a lot. And the medication, the injection, can slow down the progression for 20%, not 100%. Can slow down 20%, cannot reverse the process. When the geographic atrophy develops, it stay there. It can only become larger, not become smaller. And cannot improve your vision, but only slow down for 20%. Also, people found out after these two medication go on release to the market, and after injection, people find some patient has inflammation. Some people has a severe inflammation, including vasculitis. That means retina small vasculature become inflamed, and that can make people blind. So some serious complication, but it happened very low, only 1 out of 10,000 injection. It's very low. And also, it only happened to the first injection. So usually then, when we start the injection, we start the good eye or the bad eye? The better eye or the worse eye?
The worse.
Yes, exactly. We want to try. If there's no complication on the worse eye, then we try the better eye. And some people do have like a 15%, they can from dry become wet after the injection. So this injection to slow down the geographic atrophy is not risk-free. It has some risk. And there are other exciting treatment for geographic atrophy. Like Dr. Tuli mentioned, the telescope we can implant. That's great. And other things like stem cell transplant. After we harvest the stem cell, you can inject that into subretinal space. Then it can produce nutrition factors and can help the maintain the eye alive, provide nutrition for longer time. And other treatment, there's a new interesting treatment. It's called a bio laser treatment. It's used long wavelength laser. So it's like a red and yellow wavelength, long wavelength laser. And let the patient look into the laser for several sessions. Then they found out the deposit reduced. You know, the dry macular degeneration, even early wet macular degeneration start with the waste deposit underneath the retina behind the eye. It's called the drusen. So after the light shone into the eye, the long wavelength, and the drusen reduced. And less people will develop geographic atrophy. So that's a very exciting, still in, I think, phase two, phase three clinical trial, not into the market yet. And as Dr. Tuli mentioned, also gene therapy. So there are gene therapy, people can inject underneath the retina or inside the vitreous. The gene, the vectors, the viral vectors carry the gene, get into the eye, and infect the cells of the eye. And they can produce the anti-inflammation factors so that you only need one shot. So I mentioned that those two medications, you need to repeat the shot every 2 to 3 months. With each injection, you will have the risk of infection, inflammation, bleeding, even retinal detachment, if touch the lens, cause cataract. But the intravitreal injection of gene therapy, that's only take one shot. And it constantly will produce, it's like a biofactory inside your eye, produce the anti-inflammation factors, and then you can enjoy the benefit the rest of your life. And then we talk about wet macular degeneration. I believe most people here receive injection for the wet macular degeneration. That means you have fluid inside your eye. Sometimes you have blood inside your eye, which is devastating to the vision. And for many of my patients, they never get used for injection. Even after several years, they always very, very tense in the chair and the jerk and kick me and never get used to it. But I won't blame them because they are the people who sit on the chair and receive the injection. If you give me the injection, we switch, probably I'll kick you too. So there are new gene therapy for that. They use injection to produce a protein inside your eye. This time, instead of the anti-inflammation factor, they can produce the anti-VEGF factor. You know, some people, I believe, here, some people receive Avastin injection, Some people receive Eylea injection, some people receive probably Vabysmo injection, some people Lucentis injection. All these injections, they're called anti-VEGF. So VEGF factor is a factor which triggers the abnormal blood vessel growth, the new vascular growth. Those abnormal blood vessels, they can leak, cause the fluid, or they can bleed, cause bleeding inside your eye. So the anti-VEGF factor, they can hold off the growth of the abnormal blood vessel. And again, you only need one shot. And they constantly express this protein and hold off the anti-VEGF, the VEGF factor. So that's, I believe many of you guys or my patient, they will be very happy to hear it. Also for Lucentis, they have the portable slow release implant. So you put a small pocket insert inside your eye through surgery and cover it with a conjunctiva. And for every 6 months, you refill it, and you only need to do that twice per year. So that's very good. And there's another new injection. It's called Vabysmo. So Vabysmo is the first medication to have a two double effect. One effect is anti-VEGF. Another effect is ACE. We know that's some people have a high blood pressure, for example. Then one, some medication is to treat that, to against the constriction of the blood vessel to lower the blood pressure. So that Vabysmo, that medication has two effects and can make the eye, the fluid go away for quicker and stay dry for longer time. And again, but unfortunately, Vabysmo, this medication also has we saw some side effects like inflammation. And 1% of people receive that injection will have inflammation, so quite high. For gene therapy, we talk about for the white macular degeneration, and some clinical trial is right now is going in Massachusetts. Hopefully, we can see the FDA approval soon. I think we have a little bit of time. I'm going to talk about an inherited retinal disease. So that's usually it's a very rare disease. 1 out of 4,000, 1 out of 5,000 people will have it, and it's due to the gene mutation. That means after you, when you were born, you're born with a mutation, and it can only gradually progress, gradually become worse, and cannot be reversed. And for the in 2017, there is a big breakthrough in the eye field. First gene therapy for human being ever get approved by FDA. Dr. Tulli also mentioned it's Luxturna. So that treat RPE65 mutation for several inherited retinal disease. After that, there are so many clinical trials is underway for Usher syndrome, for X-linked retinitis pigmentosa, for a lot of disease, acridemia, and so a lot of disease right now have a clinical trial, but right now, a lot of this clinical trial focus on the specific gene mutation. They only treat one gene mutation. If you have a different mutation, too bad, we have to go back to the lab and study it again. So it's not very economic, cost effective, waste a lot of money. So then people think, then we can use something gene editing method. Maybe we we can edit the gene instead of to try to create a new gene to replace the old gene. That's a CRISPR gene editing technology. And as Dr. Tully also mentioned, so people also pay a lot of attention to metabolism of the eye. They work on mitochondria, and they can, right now we have some success. For example, some clinical trial look for the metformin. We all know metformin is to treat the diabetes, but people think the metformin has a certain protective effect for the eye cells. So you can take low dose metformin without pass out because of the blood sugar too low, but have some effect to protect the eye, even can work for macular degeneration patients. And another medication or clinical trial is called the NAC trial, NAC trial. It is under clinical trial led by John Hopkins, Dr. Peters. And this is actually detoxic medication for Tylenol overdose. But people find that it has some effect to help and has the effect of antioxidation. So can save a lot of cells. Use that for retinitis pigmentosa nowadays. And so these are exciting treatment, medical treatment for inherited retinal disease. Dr. Tully also mentioned about the retinal implant. Yes, so occurs too that epiretinal implant out of the market, but they're a new implant going on, and also there's another company, it's called Pixel. It's a collaboration between the Stanford and the France, and they are doing clinical trial in United States right now, the University of St. Petersburg and UMiami, they have a center. They right now they use that retina chip to treat macular, very advanced stage macular degeneration, big scar. And there's a Taiwan company also working on this chip, different chip, and hopefully they can go on clinical trial soon. That's all I want to tell you. Nice. Thank you very much. Every time when you come to clinic before injection, usually we do the optical coherence tomography, the OCT scan. It's like similar to the ultrasound of the eye. So we scan the eye, different layers, different section. On that scan, we can see the atrophy, the thinning of the area. We can measure that. Also, another very effective tool is autofluorescence. We use the fundus picture, the wide field camera, take a picture. It's a black and white picture. It can catch the edge, the area of the geographic atrophy, and we can measure that as well.
Here, let me bring a microphone over to you. Just a second. This lady here.
Yes, I have type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, and I have had taken laser back maybe 40 years ago. And now they say I have scar tissue, and my diabetes is in very good control. However, my eye are just getting worse. Is there anything they can do about that?
So the eye scar tissue, I don't know what do they like indicate the scar tissue. So for diabetes right now, as you see, they have you can have a different scar tissue. So one scar tissue can be caused by the laser scar.
And that laser scar is not going to change. So you have a scar now, you have the same scar after 10 years. And another scar tissue people talk about is called the epiretinal membrane. That's a very thin membrane scar tissue, we often call it. It's on top of the macula. And you can have surgery to remove it. And some scar tissue, if they did a laser in your macula, you may have a top scar tissue over there, then we cannot do anything about that. Yeah. So you have to ask your retina specialist what kind of scar tissue. Yeah.
Gina, I know you have a question here. Let me bring
you yes, I do have a question.
Let me bring you to this
Thank you. My problem is I was given Vabysmo for totally 2 years as a trial. Now they tell me that I can't have it because there is no money for it. What part can you make into my life of trying to get these big farms give me Vabysmo?
So this, actually, this is a very common problem. Vabysmo is very expensive. Some of my patients, they receive Vabysmo and even Medicare Part A and B, very good insurance. They had a very high copay, several thousand dollars sometimes. And I do not know how why it's so expensive. It's mainly the pharmaceutical, the drug itself. But you can ask your retina specialist to talk to the company to see if they can, sometimes they give some samples.
There is no samples. I have tried to I'm now blind again because I haven't had the medication. It's been 3 months. And they said that Good Days pays some of this, but I want to know what control do you have over these big companies rejecting people?
I have zero control.
Maybe talk to the money again. Talk to
them. You're preaching to the choir. We have, I know this is very upsetting to you. It's equally upsetting to us. We are in this business to help people. And when we can't help people, it is very frustrating. And we have zero control over pharmacy.
Is there anything us as the public can do to make this better for the people that need it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, somebody mentioned it. You talk to your representatives. You talk to the companies, your insurance companies, and see what you can do. But there's a lot of power in bigger voices, right? So more people that go in and talk about that. But unfortunately, the doctors have no control over it. We don't get to decide. I can't even tell people what they can get because the insurance company comes back and tells me, you can't do that. Or you can't give this medication. Or they will not get the brand name or the generic. We have no control over that.
I understand you have no control, but since you're involved in this and you're trying to help people, why do you not force it?
Our doctors call every day. We spend hours trying to get people medication. It's not that we're not trying, but they have no obligation to us. They have no reason to listen to us. We're not providing anything to them. But you are a member of that insurance company. And they will listen to you much more than they will listen to me.
Well, the insurance company said that they would pay for it, but then they came back and they told me it would be $800 a shot in my eye.
All right.
Sorry. You have a question?
We have a question, Charlie. For
eye transplant.
Eye transplant, that's a great question. So there are people definitely working on that. And people have actually tried to implant. They've actually done those, so they've done transplants of the eyes. The problem, again, is that nerve. Once you cut that nerve, the new nerve and the old nerve don't want to gel. So that's the problem we're dealing with. But again, there's probably some hope. We were talking about some animal studies. Yes, just yesterday, we were talking to somebody who came and interviewed at the University of Florida, and they were talking about using stem cells to grow new fibers. And perhaps those fibers will make their way back rather than trying to connect old to new. they might be able to form connections further down. So there's still hope, they're still working on that, but we're not close to even clinical trials at this point about that.
Okay, we have a couple questions over here.
Yes, Dr. Yu. I have scar tissue on my cornea.
Yes, sir.
From surgeries that I've had. And I'm interested in what you said about an artificial cornea. That is that made with stem cells?
No, the artificial corneas are actually made out of plastic.
Out of plastic?
Yes.
Now, what is the success rate in those type of operations? Is there downsides to it?
There are people here who've had it, so you should talk to them. But yes, so there are downsides. There's always a downside to everything, you know, surgery. And this plastic cornea, so bodies like tissue from bodies. So corneal transplants, if you can get a regular corneal transplant, that's always the best because that incorporates into the eye better. Plastic corneas do work very well when they do work, but they require a lot of upkeep. So you have to be on antibiotics and steroids and things for the rest of your life. And you have to see an eye doctor every 3 months. So it's a lot of upkeep, but it can be done.
Okay, thank you.
If you see Donna, the event director, she has an artificial cornea in her left eye. So she'll be happy to tell you all about it.
Yeah, you want to talk to me about it? From a patient's perspective.
Donna's a poster child of everything that you can ever do on the eye. So she could replace me easily, right?
So far, so good.
All right, I have some questions over here. Let me get over here with the microphone. I'd also like to, I'll mention this now. We're actually recording this session, so you can go on our website, the www.thevillagesvip.org, and it'll be a recording of this. Okay.
Two quick questions. One is, my optometrist kept referring me to my retina specialist on this question, and my retina specialist is kind of vague, so I want to hear your opinion. Laser cataract surgery on, I have macular in both eyes, but HE1. So my question is, would the laser surgery to remove the cataract and replace it impact the progression of my macular in my good eye?
So I guess the question is, why would you want laser cataract surgery? Because when you have macular degeneration, a lot of the lenses that correct vision, you know, the multifocals, right, and the bifocals are not really great ideas. So I typically do not do laser cataract surgery on people that have macular degeneration, especially wet kind, because it doesn't do any benefit. And even though we don't know that it does any harm, it's extra money and it doesn't do any benefit, why do it? Okay. So I suggest regular cataract surgery.
My second quick question is dealing with AREDS.
Yep.
I used to take the AREDS when I first was diagnosed with macular. When I questioned my retina specialist, they were saying the effectiveness at this point is not really worth taking the medication. What's your opinion?
So ARES is not a treatment. This is a supplement.
Yes.
Supplement. And ARES only work for intermediate stage of macular degeneration. If you're too early, then you don't need the ARES. If you're too late, then it's useless. So only intermediate.
Yeah. What's your opinions on hydroxychloroquine? My mom went blind from macular degeneration. Before I was 60, I had glaucoma, so I do tons of drops. I have Sjogren's, so my rheumatologist recommended hydroxychloroquine with a caution. It's a problem for the retina. I think it's, wait a minute. I think it's supposed to help with inflammation, but it's creating retina problems, or am I stupid for taking it? Because I'm ready to say, let's just forget about it. Can somebody answer that? Is hydroxychloroquine, it's 200 and I want to know if it's worth the risk. You know, because they're like, well, you're not taking enough of a dose probably for it to be a problem. Probably? I don't know.
So the AAO has a recommendation of the dose of hydrochloroquine. Usually it's a 5 milligram per kilogram per day. So you can calculate that according to your weight. So if, I don't know if you already have, you said you have glaucoma. I don't know if you have a macular degeneration. Yes. So if you do not have that, then if you take the correct dose, not overdosing, and I would say within 5 years, the risk should be low. The risk of toxicity should be low. But after 5 years, it can increase the risk, and also if the total dose over the 1 gram, it can increase the risk as well. You can ask your primary care physician, the eye doctor, your primary care eye doctor, comprehensive eye doctor, to do OCT, ultrafluorescein, and visual field every year to test. Then they can catch the toxicity earlier.
All right, we have one more question over here.
Macular degeneration for many, many years, and I had shots. Dr. Wurzenfeld told me that there was nothing they could do for me. My husband was with me. What can I do now?
Well,
what? So what is your vision?
I don't see from the right eyes to black.
So when if the retina become old scar tissue, because the abnormal blood vessel came from the underneath the retina, when they bleed, and it can cause disc-like scar tissue. When you have a scar tissue, then injection doesn't work. Injection cannot resolve the scar tissue, can only take the fluid away. So if it's like a cone finger vision, big scar tissue, the injection will not work.
Okay, I'd like to let everybody know the exhibit hall should be open.
Yes, it is.
And I think we'll formally stop this, but I'm sure the doctors will stay up there in the front. Have a question? Please go up and talk to them. Thank you all, and enjoy. Go to the exhibit hall.
I just want to remind everyone that the doctor's talks today will be on the VIP website, which is Villages VIP, and we're recording it, so it will be available to you in audio, so you can listen and catch all that stuff that you can't remember, like me. All right, we also put on our answer quiz that people who are not doing it. Yeah, awesome. All right, thank you everyone, you were terrific.
Okay. Well, they have a different okay.